you do that, okay? We are going to read together John chapter 10, not all of it, but verses 11 to 18, and then we're going to have a little study of John chapter 10. The words on the screen, the passage on the screen. Boys and girls, if I can ask you to be as quiet as you can, I know that's hard. There's some things out the back that you can play with. You can do this at the front here. You can move around and wander around. Try not to fall over.
Okay.
Just for your sake. Don't want anyone hurt, do we? But feel free. All right? And mums and dads, try not to worry about them. I know how it is, but just, you know, they're okay. As long as they don't hurt themselves, they're all right. John chapter 10 then. Let's have a little look at this and see what God wants to say to us this morning. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Gospel reading from John chapter 10. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that Jesus himself says that he is our good shepherd. Help us to understand what that might mean for us this morning. And we pray that we might know his voice, that he would speak directly to us, each and every one of us, whoever we are, and that we will have ears to hear and be ready to respond. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have a question, and the question is quite simple. What animal do you think you are most like? Anybody? Anyone like to say? A spaniel. Okay. Is there a reason? Chasing tennis balls is bugs. It's a spaniel. That's a nice one. I wasn't expecting that. That's great. Yes, Anne. A sloth. Is that personal for you or? Okay. Any others? Animals that we resemble in some way?
A tiger.
A tiger. Is there a personal anecdote behind that, or is that wishful thinking? They all call, oh, you're called Tiger. There you go. Well, you must be then. There's any more? You're a cheeky monkey. I thought we might get monkey. I did think we might get monkey. Not least, of course, because from a sort of historical point of view, we're kind of, you know, related, aren't we? That's what we're told, to distant cousins and so on. Sometimes some people will say we might be like a mouse or a rat, because when they do experiments, they experiment on mouse or rats, don't they, very often, before they experiment on human beings, because of some similarities there somewhere along the line. I don't know what that says about us. Other people suggest it might be ants or bees, because they're community-minded, aren't they? And they organize themselves, and that's what human beings do. Other people might suggest dolphins, because I understand that the ratio of the brain to the body size and so on is similar to ours. So I don't know what any of those say about them. Well, I've got news for you who haven't already guessed. As far as the Bible is concerned, the animal we are compared to most often in the Bible is sheep. Sheep. Sunday lunch. Psalm 100, we are God's people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 77, Lord God, you lead your people like a flock. Psalm 79, we, your people and the sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. Psalm 23, the Lord is my, I shall not want. Here's my favorite, actually. Lots in the Old Testament about this. Isaiah chapter 40. verse 11. This is my favorite. God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that are with young, which is quite appropriate when you think about it for many people here today, especially for Mark and Rachel. Beautiful verse, isn't it? Of all the animals God created, the species we most often are compared to in the Bible is sheep. What does that say about us? What does that say? First, no insult intended here, because we're all in the same boat as human beings. Sheep, on the whole, are pretty stupid and stubborn. Ask yourself, have you ever seen a trained troop of sheep in a circus? Anyone ever seen that? No, we've seen trained animals of one kind or another, but not sheep. And you probably never will. Sheep are just too simple-minded, and they're not terribly clever. Secondly, sheep are dirty and wayward. Are you feeling good about yourself this morning? Well, they are, aren't they? Real sheep aren't like those clean, fluffy balls of cotton wool that you get on the children's things when they've been busy at school or whatever creating sheep pictures. If you've ever seen the southern end of a northbound herd, you'll know how dirty sheep can be. They can't keep themselves clean. If you get up close, they don't always smell particularly nice. And they wander off really easily. Apparently, they can't see very far. I should be asking James about this, shouldn't I? You know? Am I right with all this so far? Would you know? I mean, I know you're on the crop side of things more, but you know, you're in touch with a... I'm told sheep can't see more than 15 yards or so. Is that correct? You don't know. Anyone know? Well, that's what I've been told anyway. And if they do wander off and get themselves into trouble, they should go to specs. If they do wander off, and the shepherd is really good enough to go and find them and get them back, which is a kind of a biblical story if you remember anyway, they'll do it again because they're pretty dumb and they can't remember what to do. So they're stupid and stubborn, they're dirty and wayward, they're defenseless and dependent. Sheep don't have much of a bite. Anyone been bitten by a sheep? They're not able to defend themselves very well. They've got no claws or fangs or horns. They don't even smell bad enough. I mean, they smell bad, but not bad enough to really repel predators. And to make it worse, they're top heavy and they have spindly legs, don't they? So they can't run very fast and they can't get away. They've got no camouflage, no natural camouflage if you think about it. Unless they happen to be near a shop that sells racks and racks of woolly jumpers, they're dead in the water, aren't they? Sheep are not king of the forest types. Lastly, sheep are easily frightened and confused. Yes, that's me. I'll go with that one. You can easily spook the sheep. Doesn't take much to scramble their simple mental processes. They're very nervous. They have been known to plunge over cliffs like lemmings do, you know, just one after the other. Sheep, hey? And the Bible, God says, the animal that you most resemble this morning is a sheep. Now listen, he's not saying that. The Bible doesn't make that comparison to put us down. God isn't being rude. He wants to communicate something really important to us. He wants us to know that just as sheep need a shepherd, they'd be lost without the shepherd. We need someone to protect us and to guide us in life. David put it this way in the famous 23rd Psalm. We need a shepherd with a rod and a staff to protect us. We need someone to lead us on paths that are right. We might think that we don't. We might like to think that we've got it all together and we can work it out ourselves. But the Bible says that's not the case. We are like sheep. And we read in Isaiah 53, it's another famous verse, you may have heard of this one. It says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And Mark 9, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. We have the need for a shepherd, all of us. Some of the earliest images of Jesus are not of Jesus on the cross. They're of Jesus as a shepherd in churches and tombs. Portrayal of Jesus as the gentle shepherd One of the earliest paintings of all is of a very young Jesus in a short white tunic with a lamb draped over his shoulder. Now, all of this might be a bit odd to us. Can I just ask, does anybody here know a shepherd? Jill. Oh, and James. and we've got three who know a shepherd, but most of us don't. And probably most of us haven't met a real-life shepherd in the flesh. We've got a mental picture, but I guess there's plenty of us here who don't really know very much about being a shepherd. For Jesus to say that he's the good shepherd is not necessarily the best image for us today, but it was when he said it. It was a great image because the shepherd was a common sight throughout the whole of the Greek-speaking world in the first century. They'd probably be thinking of someone with a weather-beaten face dressed in coarse homespun clothing with a wooden stick in one hand as he led the flock of sheep or goats out to pasture. And in the Bible, also, the idea of being a shepherd was being a leader of people. And if you remember, both Moses and David were shepherds before God called them into their positions of leadership. I like this, the fact that shepherd was often used for a leader, like Agamemnon. In Greek writing, philosophers and orators often used to compare the idea of shepherd with the art of governing people, shepherding a flock. And the Roman poet Virgil, he described shepherds. He said, they lie there at ease under the awning of a spreading beech and practice country songs on the light shepherd's pipe. What a lovely picture. But they weren't all thought of like that. Some people perhaps thought of it as a bit homespun, whimsy. But for others, shepherds aroused suspicion. They were perceived as rough, unscrupulous characters who pastured their animals on other people's land and pilfered wool and milk and kids from the flock. Some people have said that in the first century, some shepherds were considered as honest and trustworthy as the used car salesman today. Well, it's difficult to know exactly what those who heard Jesus say he was the good shepherd would think of that. Perhaps, going from that last thing, they would think the idea of a good shepherd was completely stupid, an oxymoron. They don't go together. Or maybe they had that idea of here was someone who would care for them. Let's look very quickly at three things. Why Jesus is a good shepherd and what that means for me, what it means for you if we are sheep in need of a shepherd. Firstly, Jesus cares for the sheep. In verse 13 of the passage we were reading there, Jesus cares for the sheep. In contrast to the hired hand who cares nothing, Jesus is loyal and faithful and doesn't run away. He walks with us through life. He faces the difficulties with us because he cares for us. I meant to bring my wallet this morning, but I haven't brought it with me, and the moth would fly out if I opened it anyway. But in my wallet, I have a loyalty card. I think I've got a loyalty card from a supermarket or anything like that. Some of you must have. I always think it's a bit of a joke to call it a loyalty card, really. Who's the one who's being loyal? They want me to be loyal to them. I don't know whether they're particularly loyal to me. They just want me to go and spend money in their shop. Oh, yes, there's a few rewards in it if I spend enough money or whatever they want me to do. So it's a bit much calling it a loyalty card. It's all about my loyalty and not their loyalty. That cannot be said of Jesus. Jesus is the loyal one in this relationship. He's loyal to his sheep because he cares for them in that way. He was to protect the sheep, to provide boundaries. He talks earlier about this sheep pen for protection. The shepherd with his dogs will keep the gathered sheep together in one flock. Those who stray too far away run the risk of being devoured by wolves. Incidentally, and this is a bit of an aside, but it's important, how does that caring happen? How is God going to protect us? How is he going to guide us? We'll come on to that in a moment. The Lord will guide you continually, says Isaiah 58. Psalm 25 says, God will teach the one who fears the Lord, he will teach him the way that is best. Psalm 32 says, I will instruct you and teach you. How does God care for us and protect us? Well, he calls us together. Vitally important. What we're doing this morning is quite important. Come on to that in a moment. So God, first of all, Jesus rather, he cares for the sheep. He cares for these sheep. He cares for you. He cares for me. He's equipped to be good shepherd because he cares for you. He loves you. He's loyal to you, whether we know it or not. Secondly, he knows his own sheep and they know him. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. It's about relationship. Jesus is talking about people that he is in relationship with. And as well as caring for you, Jesus knows you better than anyone could possibly know you. He is not some stranger. He is not a hired hand. He is not a supply teacher. Jesus knows us. I think I've got time quickly to tell this story. Some of you will know this story, but I love it. It's worth saying. A shepherd looking after his sheep one day on the side of a deserted road, and suddenly a brand new Porsche pulls up and screeches to a halt. The driver gets out. He's dressed in an Armani suit, Cerruti shoes, Ray-Ban sunglasses, Tag Heuer watch, a Pierre Cardin tie. He gets out and he says to the shepherd, "If I can tell you how many sheep you have, will you give me one of them?" And the shepherd looks at the young man and says, he looks over at his large flock of grazing sheep. He says, okay. The young man parks the car, connects his laptop to his mobile, connects to a private NASA network, scans the ground using GPS, opens a database with 60 Excel tables filled with logarithms and pivot tables, and then prints out a 350-page report on his high-tech mini printer. He turns to the shepherd and he says, "You have exactly 1,586 sheep in your flock." The shepherd's a bit surprised by this, but he says, "You're correct. That's right. You can have your sheep." So the young man takes an animal and puts it in the back of his Porsche. And just as he's about to drive off, the shepherd says, "Just a minute. If I guess your profession, will you return my animal to me?" And he says, "Okay." The young man thinks he's got nothing to use. The shepherd says, "You're an IT consultant, aren't you?" "How did you know?" "Sorry, Kev." "How did you know?" says the young man. "Very simple," says the shepherd. "Firstly, you came here without being called. Secondly, you charged me a fee to tell me something I already know. And thirdly, you don't understand anything about my business. Now give me back my sheepdog." The fact is, not only does Jesus care for you, unlike that man, Jesus really does know you this morning. I don't know if you've ever considered that. Jesus knows you inside out and backwards. In Palestine, most sheep were kept for their wool or milk. They weren't. Some of them were for the sacrificial business, but they weren't generally for eating. So that often meant that a shepherd would know sheep from birth, all the way through their long life. Shepherds would give names to their sheep. I don't know if that still happens today. I kind of hope it does in a way. I don't know why, but they would name their sheep. Jesus knows each one of us by name. He's watched us growing up. He knew us before we were born. He's known everyone from the foundation of the earth. And he knows us perfectly, intimately, and better than anyone else could. And God in the flesh, Jesus, as God incarnate, knows what it's like to be me and what it's like to be you, what it's like to be human, a human sheep. He knows all of that. He's the only one who didn't wander off and get it wrong. From the molecular level out, Jesus knows us, and he wants us to know him. That same verse says, "I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." He wants to be in that relationship with you this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Incidentally, sheep, is it plural or is it singular? It's one of those words, isn't it? If you just say sheep, you won't know whether I'm saying a sheep, an individual sheep, or sheep. 1,586, or however many in that flock, or whatever. It's one of those words that can be either. It's very important because very often in these passages in the Bible, and certainly in this one, it's sheep plural, not sheep singular. We tend to think of ourselves on our own. It's just about me. But Jesus often thinks about us gathered together. And that's actually vital here. The flock is the primary reality to which the shepherd is related. Remember earlier I said we were going to talk a little bit about the idea of this. Jesus calls his people together to hear his voice. He cares for the flock. It's why it's so important to be connected to a church of one kind or another, a group of God's people together trying to live their lives and support and encourage one another. Absolutely, absolutely vital. Of course, we are individuals too, but we're individuals because we're part of God's flock to which he relates. The idea of a congregation comes from, if you did O-level Latin like me, from Latin, to gather people together. But the word, the gregari bit of it, is to collect into a flock. It's actually got the idea of sheep in it. I love that idea. And this morning, that's what we've done. We've gathered the flock together so that we can together hear God's voice and respond to him so that we can be encouraged. And you might be saying to me, Jeff, okay, you might be saying several things. You might be saying, when are you going to stop? It won't be too much longer if you're struggling with this. But you say, I don't know. How can I hear Jesus' voice? And what is it? How do I respond to that? What does that all mean? I'll tell you what, this cartoon can say it better than I could say it. Just have a little look at this cartoon. Just let that sink in for a moment. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cares for us and knows us and wants us to know him. But there's one other very important thing before we finish that makes Jesus the candidate, not just to be a Good Shepherd, but the Good Shepherd. The one and only Good Shepherd. And it's the fact that he says it several times. He laid down his life for us. In our reading, in verse 11, verse 14, verse 17, he lays down his life of his own accord. No one takes it from me. I lay it down. For John, the shepherd is good because he lays down his life for the sheep. In contrast to the hired hand or the wolf, the hired hand runs away when the wolf comes, but the wolf is out to get what he can. The good shepherd is ready to lay down his life. Laying down a life for a friend, John says, was considered to be the absolute manifestation of love. He says that later in John 15. And by laying down his life, Jesus shows the love of God for you and for me. What love is this? What does that mean? Jesus' willingness to lay down his life on behalf of the sheep. Many shepherds would die in Jesus' day protecting their sheep from wolves or lions or thieves. No one else would do it but the one who loved them and knew them from birth. A true shepherd knew and loved and died for his sheep. I remember reading that in cowboys in Argentina or Brazil, I think it was, when they came to a piranha-infested river through which they had to drive their cows, they would protect their herd by taking one cow upstream a few hundred yards where they would kill it and throw it in the river. Sorry, it's not a very nice story, but that's apparently what they would do. And of course, the piranha would attack the dead cow. And while the piranha were distracted attacking the dead cow, the cowboys would lead the rest of the herd safely across the river. And of course, that's sort of a kind of illustration of exactly what Jesus was prepared to do, to lay down his life so that you and I are free. We can live our lives the way God intended us to do. We are rescued from the danger. One important difference, though, because Jesus says, they didn't come and take my life. The cow didn't get much say, did it, in what happened to it. But Jesus says, I lay down my life because I want to do that. I prepared to do it willingly. That's his purpose in coming to earth. Jesus did not die as a martyr, someone said, killed by human beings. He died as a substitute, willingly laying down his life for you and for me. In that same passage where Isaiah said, we're all like sheep, Isaiah 53, Isaiah spoke about Jesus and he said, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. By his wounds we are healed. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open up his mouth. Christians believe that the death of Jesus was for you and for me and for all people because he knows us and he loves us and he wants to care for us. He wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to hear his voice. So what do we do? All we like sheep, how do we respond? One final thing. Do you remember the first verse of Psalm 23, that famous shepherd psalm? The Lord, do it with me again. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. If you're wondering about hearing the voice of Jesus this morning, well, we can't do that unless he is my shepherd. Unless we've accepted Jesus as Lord. It's very easy not to do that. You see, I believe that Jesus is not just a good shepherd. He's not just even the good shepherd. He's my good shepherd. And he wants to be your shepherd too. All we like sheep need this shepherd. Shepherds lead, sheep follow. God won't lead you until you commit your life to follow him. You won't be able to hear his voice if it's being blotted out by all of those things. If you're here today and you don't know the good shepherd as your Lord, even now he's calling you by name. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. It's up to you, though. It's up to us. Will we accept the Lord Jesus as our good shepherd and follow him as Lord? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. When Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, he knew what he was on about because he knows what we're like. And Lord, when we think about it, we are a bit like sheep at times. And some of us here are grateful that we know you as our Lord, my shepherd. Lord, others of us aren't quite sure, or perhaps we've not given it much thought. But we pray that you will go on calling our name until we're ready to respond. And Lord, if we are ready to respond to you, help us to find a place in your pen, in your sheepfold, with other sheep, so that we regularly can hear you speaking to us and commit ourselves to following you wherever you lead us. In the name of Jesus, amen.